Good afternoon and welcome to the first 2010 meeting of the Transportation Policy and Transit Division. I'm Representative Frank Hornstein, welcome. We have two bills before us today, House File 2914, Representative Mariani, and House File 2231. Representative Nelson will do not have a quorum at this time, but it looks like we will be getting one shortly. So we still would proceed with your testimony, Representative Mariani. Welcome back to the committee. It's great to see you here. I was thinking for a second we might have a real ID issue, but maybe that's for later in the session.
We'll have a, Mr. Chair, committee members, we'll have a real tipping issue. It's a pleasure to be back here. I had the pleasure to serve on this committee for about 6 or 8 years in the 90s, and it was a very good experience, and so I know many of the issues that you deal with, and I get to deal with other issues nowadays.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Thank you, and Representative Mariani, do you want to move that A1, or I'll move the A1 amendment so we can get your bill in the shape that you'd like it? Is that... You still want to move that one? Have that one move?
Mr. Chair, I believe you first want to move the entire the House bill.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We'll move House File 2914. We will recommend that to pass, and I believe we have to go to Commerce after this.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So, members, I'm moving House File 2914, recommending it to pass and to go to Commerce, and then I'll also move the A1 amendment as well.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I hopefully I could do this rather quickly, and I think the amendment that we just moved really makes this bill a very narrow approach, attempting to address a very specific issue without getting into the broad issue of window tinting and window glazing. And let me just read very quickly some lines from a note that I got from a constituent that really lays out the case here. This is a small businesswoman. More importantly, she's a mom of a 17-year-old, and being the parent of teenagers, I totally empathize. And she wrote this letter to a business that tinted a window on her 17-year-old son's car. I'm ready to express my displeasure with the window tinting service your company provided to our family last summer. By my then 16-year-old son set up an appointment to have the windows tinted in a 1999 Pontiac Bonneville owned by my husband and I. This was with our full knowledge and permission. When I found a note near the telephone that read, "Darkest tint available," I became concerned enough to call and find out what that meant. The gentleman answering the phone started to explain, "Well, we try to get these young guys to go with the legal tint because, well, you can pay me once now or pay me again later when you get a ticket." I interrupted him and asked, "You mean you install illegal window tint?" I was told that, yes, they install illegal window tint and that it was not illegal to install. And that's the issue before us. Needless to say, her son got a lesson in growing up. He received a ticket from the St. Paul Police Department, which she's not contesting for his illegal tint. And however, she was aghast that Minnesota laws would implicitly say it's okay to, for illegal tent to be installed. And so, in a nutshell, that really captures what the intent of the language is before us. I know it's a little complicated language, and I may call on legal counsel if people have specific questions, but the key lines here are in lines 1A through 110, which makes it clear that installing a tent that does not meet existing state statute with, a variety of exceptions there, that itself is an illegal activity. And so, Mr. Chair, members, that's basically the bill, the rationale for the bill, what the bill attempts to do.
Thank you very much, Representative Mariani. Are there questions of the author for House File 2914 as amended? We're really working off the A1 is really the bill, so. Yes, Representative Mason.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mariani, I think, this does try to zero in on the problem, the issue, but I had a son that bought a car in California and brought it back here, and obviously he eventually got a ticket too. But if our state is, my concern is, say you're buying a car here and maybe you're from another state, would that, and you're going to take the car back to Wisconsin or wherever, would that still prevent the company here from doing that if their laws are different than ours?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, good question. I mean, I would assume that, first of all, continuing to drive, and so you're going to presumably drive the vehicle from here to Wisconsin, currently would invite a citation. The issue here has to do with tinting a window that would be illegal, and we know that there are plenty of vehicles out there that already come tinted, and so I would say no. I certainly would ask legal counsel for advice. I think in terms of the issue of this bill. However, that driver would, I would presume, still be eligible for a citation if stopped.
Mr. Burris, I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Mr. Chair and members, I would concur with Representative Mariani on that the provision in my read would apply regardless of the intent of where the motor vehicle is headed after the application of the tinting or glazing material.
Thank you. Are there any further questions of committee members?
So, Mr. Related? Chair, just to clarify, so this goes to the issue of the act of glazing. I didn't want to get into the sticky wicket of vehicles that already come to our dealers, folks here that are not meeting, Minnesota's tinting requirements. In that case, under existing law, the liability falls to the driver of the vehicle, not to drive with those kind of windows.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mark Mariani, if you know, I've heard complaints from constituents about this issue as well. On the continuum of standards, I'm assuming Minnesota is more restrictive than the federal standard. Do you know where we fall? I mean, are we out in the talk about buying a car in California and it was legal in California but illegal here? Do you know on the continuum, are we way out of whack with the rest of the 49 states? Or
Mr. Chair, Mr. Holmberg, in all honesty, I don't know. I think it's a great question. I don't know. However, it's a great question relative even to our existing, statutes, but I don't know the answer to that.
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Mariani, I was just trying to recall, I remember window tinting bills coming up in the past, and I'm trying to recall just all the controversy that surrounded them. I do agree that people shouldn't be able to apply a window tint that's considered illegal in the state. The question for me is just the selling part of this, and I'm just wondering if we're going to end up hearing from the auto dealers on this. As I recall in the past, one of the issues was, well, if we have these cars on our lot now, then are we going to be prohibited from selling them, or we have to go through the cost of actually taking off that window tint and getting the car ready for sale? So have you considered anything that would... Well, I'll just leave it at that. Do you know of any issues that have come up?
Mr. Mariani.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, that was precisely the sticky wicket that I wanted to avoid, and I think the bill, as it was originally drafted, invited. I did have an opportunity to interact with someone representing that sector, and they're available here for comment on that. But my sense is that they're comfortable with the language as it exists right now in the relative to this issue as it exists right now.
Thank you, members. Are there any further questions of the author before we vote? Yes, Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there an effective date on this?
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, the effective date would be August 1st of 2010. That's a default effective date that applies if another one isn't specified on a policy bill.
Okay, any further discussion of House File 2914 as amended? Hearing none, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2914 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Commerce. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Mariani.
And thank you.
Really great to see you again in front of our committee, and best of luck with this bill.
We'll come
Mr. Chairman?
Back in a month or so.
Yes. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just after the fact, I was wondering if this would apply to cars with E85 Suburbans.
At this point it doesn't. However, we can always...
I'll go after my Prius.
No, it would apply to any vehicle that is involved with glazing. Okay. Members, we have one final bill. And like to welcome our fellow Transportation Finance Committee member, Representative Nelson, to our Policy Committee. And I will recommend that House File 2231 be recommended to pass and sent to the Civil Justice Committee. And we do have an amendment as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to point
being passed out, and I understand there's also an oral amendment. Would these two amendments get the bill in the shape you'd like it to be discussed in?
Yes, so Mr. Chair.
We'll move those as we find them.
And I can. The oral amendment is on the line 2.6. Is changing. There's a sunset in this. They want to try this out, and so. But because this bill was introduced last year, they wanted 3 years to try it out. They want to move the 2012 to 2013.
Okay. Is members? Are you clear on the amendment? So I will move the oral amendment on line 2.6 to change the expiration date from 2012 to 2013.
2013, yes.
Correct. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion prevails. And then we have a two amendment. Would you like to explain this amendment too as well, Representative Nelson?
Mr. Burris pointed out to me as he's reading the bill on 1.17, where it says road authority, that does not include cities. I'm grabbing an amendment. I don't have a copy of it here, but it does not include cities. So that's what this amendment does, including statutory and home rule cities. It would be cities of the first class, but that would include them also, as opposed to road authorities would cover everybody else in the state. And that's what's explained to me by Mr. Burris, and so that's where this amendment comes from.
Any discussion of the A2 amendment, members? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So we now have House File 2331 in the shape that the author would like us to consider it in. So please proceed, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. This is kind of a common sense bill, and it's with the foreclosures and with the downturn in the housing market, it's kind of brought this to the fore. Last year it didn't turn out to be as big of a problem, but as witnesses what happened in Minneapolis, where they've had to institute their one side of the street parking because of the amount of snow we've gotten this year, it's become an issue for getting fire trucks, ambulances, and just for people getting out of these subdivisions. And what is, you've got uncompleted subdivisions out there. The contractors have started. They've sold a few homes, so there's a few homes back in there that may need service, but because the roads haven't been turned over yet to the cities that where these subdivisions are in, there's nobody plowing the streets. And the cities don't have the authority to go in there and plow the streets so that their residents can get out. In a lot of cases, the developer is not active anymore, and so they're not dealing with keeping the streets plowed. So you have an issue of, again, more so for public safety, for police, fire, ambulances to get in there and deal with the issues that they have. So what this allows the cities where these are situations to go in and plow these streets so that the people that are living there in these scattered houses in there, that they can get in and out and get on with their life. So that's what this is about. The cities won't be held liable if they do damage to the roads because the roads aren't finished, but and that's all that it does.
Thank you. Representative Holberg has a question.
Thank you. And I have a couple of them, but some of them are more civil law, and well, here you're going there. So I just have a question on page 1, line 12, between vehicles and authorized. Why wouldn't you have or instead of and? Why would you require all three? Wouldn't you want to be jeopardized if any of the three instead of all of the three?
Representative Nelson?
I think I'm going to ask Mr. Burris to give me a ruling on that. I see the way it's written. I understand what you're saying there. Would that make a difference, or is that a valid point?
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, I guess if I were drafting this from scratch, I would put or there. There are some rules of statutory construction regarding and or, but that are in statute, but that for, under which you could make the argument that an and here does not actually require all three, but I think an or would probably be clearer.
So I'd be willing to accept that as a friendly amendment if.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we change the and on line 12 to an or.
Okay. Are there any questions about the oral amendment? All in favor of the Holberg oral amendment, changing and to or, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails.
And then my second question that's probably not civil law related is on the end of line 10 and line 11, you modify that this can only occur due to a general insolvency or pending foreclosure. Why would you constrain that?
Representative Nelson.
It was a year ago that we wrote this bill up. So I believe what it has to do with this, whether it's been a problem, if it's an ongoing subdivision and the contractors are in there working, they're maintaining and taking care of the roads. The situation is where there's insolvency or foreclosure, there's nothing going on, there's nobody there to do the work, and so this was allowed the cities to go in and take care of it so that the people that live in there can get out, where if they're, the subdivision is being worked on, the contractors and they're already doing this.
And I understand that, but is there any situation where an incomplete subdivision, the road's not being plowed for other reasons? Has the guy left town or the, I mean, I just don't, I mean, you're saying we can only do this because of those two reasons, but the policy, I would think you would want that you could do it if the road wasn't being plowed and it was a public safety hazard, no matter what the reason was. I'm just curious why you did that.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Finn, please state your name for the record and welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, my name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, and Representative Holberg, let me just start by saying we collaborated very closely with the Builders Association of the Twin Cities and the Builders Association of Minnesota in drafting this bill. And as a courtesy, we really wanted to keep it as narrow as possible and not leave a lot of room for other situations where we could assess a property or collect fees from a developer or property owner for plowing. We wanted to make it as tight as possible, and this is a starting point.
All right. I understand that. And then just for a heads up for when you head to civil on page 2, I think that you need to modify that level of liability. I do believe the public entity should be liable if there is damage due to behavior on their part that's not reasonable. You know, in other words, if the plow driver loses control and takes out a roll of mailboxes or whatever, there should be liability for that. I mean, if reasonable care is exercised, I mean, you give blank immunity for any damage, no matter what. And I think that the public entity has to be held to some standard of liability if their behavior is beyond reasonable. Comment for future digestion.
Representative Nelson or Ms. Finn, did you want to comment? You don't have to, but
I said noted. I think we'll look at that and talk about it after, before we get to civil law.
Okay. Are there further questions of the author or the witness? Okay. Well, If that's the case, before we vote, however, I did want to give a very warm Transportation Transit Policy and Oversight Division welcome to Representative Seifert. And he's here. He has traded places with Representative Zellers. So very good to have you, and appreciate your being here. Is there any further discussion on House File 2231?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It was pointed out to me on line 113, after subdivision 3, if I could be changed and or in proper construction, that should be is to. I think you what'd you say? Is to?
R.
Is to R.
Okay.
Mr. Burris, is that?
This is a grammatical change, I believe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I feel very strongly about this.
As a patron of the arts and the English language, I know that you do.
Mr. Chairman, I would move on line 113 after subdivision 3, comma, delete is and insert R.
Okay, is there any?
No.
Oh, I think Representative Davids, I think
Burris.
Mr. Burris has a comment on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members, I guess I'm reading it as scanning as is, as opposed to R. Is would be modifying access. So if you remove the vehicles involved and read the sentence from that standpoint, it would be public safety may be jeopardized if the access is obstructed.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my amendment.
That's why, Mr. Chair, that's why I asked Mr. Burris.
Okay. Well, and I think we also have Vice Chair Swales as an advanced placement English teacher as well. So we have plenty of talent around the table on these kinds of questions.
I know my
Thomas. Okay. Is there any further discussion of House File 2231 as amended? Okay, members. Then I will renew my motion that House File 2231. As amended, be recommended to pass and then re-referred to the Committee on Civil Justice. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, the motion prevails. Our last agenda item is the minutes. Representative Swales.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the minutes from October. October what date was it? October 13th, 2009.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Members, we are adjourned. We have a meeting next week. We'll have a couple of bills as well as a hearing on the Metropolitan Airports Commission 2030 long-range plan. So with that, members, you did a great job. You have an extra hour in your day, I assume, and enjoy it. And thank you for your good, efficient work, and we'll see you next week.